But if we're talking about polyamory, you know, specifically, and it's not about the bigger picture stuff, it's okay. Well, if you know that your partner is prone to falling for the women that you're dating, and maybe that would be a wonderful exploration for them. Do you, you know, love them enough, care for them, want that for them enough to put your own feelings of insecurity and needing to control things aside? Easier said than done.
This is a complicated, it's one of those questions that comes through where it's like, I wish that I could ask some follow-up questions.
Because, I have so many questions.
Yeah, I feel like this episode is going to be a lot of like us kind of posing questions and then, you know, providing some insight based on those assumptions of the questions, I guess, because there's a lot to it. There's a lot to it. So I'll go ahead and read the submission first so that everybody knows where we're at on this. So the submission that came through was, how do you manage one's expectations when it comes to poly? Well, I just realized my microphone is away from me. Okay, I'm going to bring that back.
You sound exactly the same to me. So
Okay. So the submission that came through was, how do you manage one's expectations when it comes to poly? For instance, I am a bi female, my husband a straight male. We've tried to date and be in relationships together, but because he always wants to control the situations, it ends up being me falling for a female and they want to walk away from him. And then he expects me to just turn off all my emotions. Meanwhile, he's ready to move on and I am still craving that connection I made. There's a lot in that.
There's a whole lot in that. And I, you know, what comes to mind first is just sadness for this person who's not getting what she wants. Mm-hmm. you know, the overarching question is, how do you manage expectations in polyamorous relationship, right? That's how she starts it. And the answer to that is always just communication. Yes. You just talk. So, I mean, my questions are like, did you talk about it? Because
that was literally, you know? I sat down and I was like, I have a whole lot of questions about this, but let's like prioritize them. And the very first one I wrote down was, have you had a discussion about each individual person's expectations, what you're wanting out of the idea of exploring polyamory? Because what I can't tell from this is whether they're expecting to find one female that likes them both, or if it's that she's finding a female and he's not finding a female, so he wants her to walk away. So I don't know, you know?
Yeah. Or he's wanting, I kind of get that maybe he's wanting more of just like the fun threesome side of things and she's actually having feelings. And then he's just like, but we're not doing feelings, right? We're doing just fun. Fun. So, but all of this is solved with communication. Mm-hmm. You know, when I help couples open up, one of the things we talk about first is, okay, what do you want and what do you want? And let's see where that overlaps and let's see where they're not. Mm-hmm. And there seems like they're having more not overlapping than overlapping right now. Mm-hmm. And it really could just be solved with conversation. I mean, there's a part of me that's, I don't know if you listen to Dan Savage podcast, but I'm just like, dump the motherfucker already. But that's a little harsh considering I don't have any information.
Yeah, that might be jumping the gun.
Right, especially as they are married. But the part of me that wants to say that is the part of me that's just like, well, he, you know, she used the word controlling. Maybe he would have a different word, but he doesn't get to say what happens 100% of the time, right? She has a say in this too. And I guess I'm wondering, what is their relationship dynamic like that her point of view is just not valid? You know, she's just expected to walk away from her feelings. The end.
You've triggered another question for me now. Mm-hmm. In the context of he wants to control all situations, now I wonder, is this in reference to how they engage with this third person just all the time? Or is she meaning like in terms of when they're in the bedroom doing a three-way, like, is he trying to control every aspect of that? And that's why this other person wants to like leave the scene.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm actually getting any, who knows, this is all just intuitive hits, right? Because we don't have the information, but I'm getting the sense that he might even want to control like what's for dinner every day of the week and, you know, what vacations they take or whatever. In general, none of it's okay, right? You have to have other person's inputs to make this right. But if we're talking about polyamory, you know, specifically, and it's not about the bigger picture stuff, it's okay. Well, if you know that your partner is prone to falling for the women that you're dating, and maybe that would be a wonderful exploration for them. Do you, you know, love them enough, care for them, want that for them enough to put your own feelings of insecurity and needing to control things aside? Easier said than done, of course. Or is this a deal breaker for either one of them? You know, if she can't have the relationships that she's wanting and he's feeling too threatened to let that happen, which maybe that's not even what's happening. I don't know. But either way, is that a deal breaker? And that's what, you know, what we come up with. And when there's a deal breaker in a relationship, there's really only two things to do. There's one is to exit the relationship. And the other one is to like sit with the disappointment of, okay, well, this is never going to happen for me because I'm choosing this relationship. I can never have that. And not like, you know, sitting with it, but like, oh, but maybe they'll change their mind one day. No. But like really sitting with that, like, nope. Never going to happen. And if that's not okay for you, then yeah, something else has got to change. It's hard though. It's hard. Yeah. It yeah. And it's the, you know, I heard recently on the podcast, someone recommend to you the book Polysecure.
Yes.
And you said you hadn't heard it, read it yet. And I was like yelling. I was like, how has he not read that book? It's so good.
I know. It's because it's a big one. And I need a long trip to be able to knock it out on. And I'm doing it next week when I drive home. It's the first book I'm knocking out.
Awesome. Well, I hope that our reader, listener also reads this book. Because one of the main things that Jessica Fern brings up in that is, what is your why? Like, why do you want to be polyamorous? And it sounds like this couple has two very different whys. Like she is wanting connection with other women and to explore that part of herself. And he is, I guess, wanting threesomes and fun and not to have, you know, his wife fault for other people. And of course we are just guessing, but those two different whys are not terribly compatible. And it's actually going to make polyamory like impossible pretty much.
I like to be the hopeless optimistic.
Yes, please.
And so like, I don't necessarily think that it would be impossible, but I do think that they both need to sit down and really discuss what it is that they want. And then once they've discussed what it is that they want, why is it that they want that? So, because I think if they each understand the other person's why, they might be able to work through whatever insecurity or hesitation that one has over the other's want. And if they can get to the root of that, they may be able to work through that, because maybe his controlling tendencies and his wanting to walk away has something to do with like a fear of loss or an insecurity. And if they can get to the root of that and they can discuss that and she can affirm him, like make him feel secure, then maybe it's possible. Maybe they can both have the cake that they want.
I love it. I love your optimism. And I actually do share that too. I think I was the impossibility I was talking about is like, if they just realize they're it's never going to be mm-hmm. able to happen. But yeah, there might be something that she can do too, to like make him feel a little bit more secure and let him know that she's not going anywhere, but that she needs to explore this side of herself. And her why is, who knows, never got to do it, feeling attraction. Like, it could be anything, but saying those things and then also saying, and I also love you and I'm not going anywhere, can mm-hmm. be really helpful. And then at that point, what you really need is just time. You know, she needs to go out on dates with women by herself and come back home every time, right? Yes. So it's that whole like, okay, there's going to be a lot of nerves when she's out or having feelings for this other woman. But as long as he continuously sees her coming back to him, eventually you learn that everything is actually okay. And you don't need to be afraid. But that like insecure attachment and how it can really feel like the scariest, most terrifying thing ever to think that there's even an ounce of a chance that your partner is going to fall for somebody else and leave. And so it's no easy task to, I mean, and you can't do it. You cannot make someone feel secure, but you can help them to feel more secure. And, you know, as long as it's being done authentically and you're not lying to them and saying, oh, I'm never going to leave, but secretly, you know, plotting your exit, I think it's totally fine to do as much as you can to help your partner. Like, you're in this together, right? It's clearly they got married, they opened the relationship, and they just have diverging opinions on what should happen. And, you know, again, going back to managing expectations, I always suggest to couples I work with, you know, regardless of if they're in a polyamorous relationship, but especially if they are, a weekly check-in. Like, let's just hash it out, you know, and sometimes you can go a whole week and there's work and there's kids and there's life, and then you don't get a chance to talk about any of the things and you just have all this stuff building up. And so maybe, you know, you don't go all week talking to each other. You have a date on Friday, and then before you know it, Saturday comes and you're like, well, I didn't think that you were gonna, you know, want to spend that time with them. And I didn't think that you were gonna, having the time beforehand to have expectations laid out is so important. And then you can also check in on, you know, your own relationship. If they're, it seems like they are doing hierarchical poly where like they're supposed to put themselves first. Mm-hmm. Like, you do that by checking in with each other. So making sure that everybody's on the same page, making sure that everybody feels good. And I would suggest to this particular couple or anybody in their shoes that's having a hard time to, you know, it's shitty and it sounds like I'm taking away somebody's toy, but like pull back for a little bit and like, let's just be together and figure out us and what it is that we want before we keep going out there and dating. Cause this is just going to be a cycle that happens over and over and over again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I completely agree with that. I think that, not like you needed me to confirm it. You're the professional here. I was in my head, I was just thinking back on my own personal experiences. And I'm like, I 100% agree with the fact that if you don't take the opportunity to communicate those expectations and to have those regular check-ins, you're going to be stuck in a vicious cycle of having this exact same experience happening over and over again. And pulling back, it's not something that my ex and I had an opportunity to do, pull back and then, mm-hmm. and then like focus on us and move forward. And it's something that, looking back in hindsight, I'm like, I think there is so much value in being able to say not right now,
yeah,
pull back and take the time for the two of you to not only focus on the two of you, but like discuss like some what ifs and talk about those feelings and think about those feelings, but while you're still taking that time for the two of you. So yeah. It's kind of like you can play out these what ifs, but still feel that, still provide each other with that sense and feeling of security, like affirming their feelings, like making them feel valued and valid. And then when you do get to branch back out, you've kind of had some of those discussions already about some what ifs. And then when that happens, you can check back in with each other and be like, okay, so this did happen. Did you feel this way? This is how I felt. You know, are we still on track? I think that would be so valuable. Yeah. It's not something I got to experience. And I think that that could have taken so much pain out of the experience that I had.
Absolutely. And I think when you don't do that, that is, it's you're running toward pain in a way that you don't realize that you are. And I also want to say that, you know, this whole managing expectations piece is not just for polyamorous people, right? It would really behoove any couple to talk about expectations before going to the in-laws' house for dinner, before going to a wedding or throwing a birthday party or something. Like, let's talk about how we want this to look. And it's even more important with polyamorous people, because then you are involving other humans in the mix. And there's just so many more feelings that are involved. Like, you know, if in this particular case, if she was exploring with this other woman and they developed feelings for each other, then, you know, it's not only her feelings that are getting hurt, it's this other person.
Yeah.
And yeah, we want more joy, not more sadness in the world. So yeah, I totally agree with you. Like, having those conversations, it solidifies a relationship and gets everybody on the same page in a way that I think is so necessary, regardless of your relationship structure. Yeah. And, you know, it could be you're in a throuple. Well, the three of you need to sit down and talk about, you know, it's all just about communicate. Use your words, people. Yep. They're there for a reason.
And don't be afraid to share something that you think might hurt them. You know, I don't want to say hurt them, but like, if you're having a feeling and you're afraid that expressing that is going to hurt the other person's feelings, you need to share it. Like, you have to be transparent, because otherwise you're going to like hold on to that and it's going to eat away at you, or it's going to develop into more, it could develop into dishonesty eventually.
Oh, for sure. I always say that if needs aren't getting met in a relationship, the only thing that fills that void is resentment.
Yeah.
And if you are not saying what you need and expecting things just to magically change, oh, the resentment you're going to have is going to be huge. And then that is when people cheat or, you know, do some other harmful thing that they know their partner would like, you know, or do some sort of retributive action. It's so funny. I see it all the time. Like, you know, somebody gets mad over somebody not putting the dishes away for 20 years. And then the next thing you know, they're like, well, I'm never washing the sheets again. And you're like, wait, what is happening here? Like, this is a conversation that you could have had. And now, you know, we're talking about even, you know, bigger things that involve people's like real feelings and core desires and wants and needs. And that kind of stuff can implode. So yeah, she might not be saying anything to him because she knows his need to control, but you got to point that out now, or else it's just going to build and build and build, and you're never going to get your needs met. He's never going to get his needs met. And there really is, I think, you know, you're the hopeless optimist in you is just totally right on, where there is a middle ground that they can find.
If everyone's willing.
Yeah. And honest. Willing.
Yep.
Right. There's a lot of hard things that need to be said in polyamory. And, you know, I love working with couples together because they say the hard things in front of each other, but they're looking at me. They don't actually have to talk to each other. It makes it easier. It really does. Yeah.
I bet it does. I've never thought about that.
It's kind of like, I don't know if you ever talked to your, I've always thought about this, people that do hair, you're sitting there and they open up to their hairdresser for this weird reason. And I thought about it. And I think it's because you're looking at them in a mirror. You're not actually looking in their eyes. So you just tell them whatever. And with me, you know, they can say the thing into the air, but they don't have to necessarily, I encourage them to look at each other, but don't have to. And you can say, oh yeah, well, what I really want is, you know, to get double penetrated next Tuesday at 5. And, you know, the other person is like, wow, I just wanted to go to dinner. So, you know, who you have to look like, let's talk about it. This is why we talk.
I love that. Great compromise is single penetrated at 4, dinner at 5.
Yes, that's perfect. Perfect. Yes, you can put a toy in your ass if you need it. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, there's a lot of, I'm laughing and I'm saying it jokingly, but in all seriousness, there is a lot of shame that people hold around their own wants and needs and desires that makes them feel like they can't say it, even to the person that they are the most intimate with, right? And if you feel that way, I highly encourage you to find a coach or a therapist or something to help you get it out, because it's so important to say the things that you want and you need, even if it means you will never get them met, just expressing it. You know, it's like any feeling. If you're having anger but never saying it out loud, oh my goodness, that is just going to build up inside of you. But if you express it, it kind of dissipates a little bit. It takes the edge off and you can then have a conversation around it. So it's all about just expressing what's inside. And I know that it's not easy. So I just want to put that out there too. And it's already super brave to write into a show like yours and ask the question. I hope that we're being even remotely helpful.
I hope so too. I really do. It's the whole reason why I do this. I think as we've gotten more into this, because I think I'm on episode 14 or 15 or something like that. So it's not that far, really. But as I've gotten into it, I'm beginning to realize that we could do more good with more context.
Yes.
So I think I would love to see this eventually evolve into like a call-in kind of thing. Or like at least a scheduled call so that we could ask the questions. We can actually dig in a little more and know whether or not we are doing good. I don't know.
Yeah, I totally agree. And also, you know, there is something about this speculative nature that we have going on today that might actually help more people, because we're like, well, if it's this, it's this. If it's that, it's that. But you know, with this particular question, I think at the end of the day, it all just comes down to communication. Yep. Like, let's just talk to each other. And my hope is always that both people and a third or a fourth, whoever they decide to, you know, bring into their coupledom, can get their needs met and be happy and joyful. Yeah. And that takes a lot of negotiating, and some people just aren't up for the task. That's the sad truth of it. So it's not for the faint of heart, this polyamory thing.
It is not. It takes self-awareness. It takes courage. Mm-hmm. And it takes willingness to be flexible.
Yes. Yeah. And it sounds like in this particular case, you know, just the concept of flexibility, I'm not getting a lot of it. It's like, and you know, maybe it's just because they haven't had the conversation and they both assume they're inflexible on it, right? Yeah. Like he's going to be this way and you're going to be this way. I mean, I have couples, including my own husband, who will just assume because one thing was one way once that it's that way forever, right? And actually things are constantly shifting and changing in relationship, and people are changing and bodies are changing, and what was true one day is not true the next. And if we're not having a conversation about it, then not going to happen. And also I want to point out that everything is temporary. You know, she may want this thing right now. He may be inflexible about it right now, but continuing to have the conversation, doing a weekly check-in, or, you know, biweekly, monthly, whatever works, but like making sure that you're continuing to have this conversation. How do we feel about it? It's just going to be so helpful. Yeah. Really bringing it to the surface when all of this stuff can be so shoved down all the time with the whole rest of the world happening right now.
And, you know, one of the other things that just came to mind, too, is a lot of times married couples, especially depending on how long they've been married, you get so comfortable with that person and feeling like you know them so well that you make assumptions about what you think they like because you think you know them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, we're all the product of our experiences and we're having experiences every day. So things change in us. And so you got to ask the questions. You got to ask the questions. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, actually, when you are asking those questions, you realize that this, you know, marriage that you've been in forever is maybe not as stale and boring as you thought it was, right? Like your partner's always changing, you know, you just got to ask like, oh, maybe I want to try this restaurant, but I'm just assuming my partner would never want to. Mm-hmm. Just ask. Maybe you'll be surprised, right? Or a sex toy or a, you know, whatever new experience that you want to have, just ask. It couldn't hurt. Yeah. And I think that that's important just to remember that like the shifts and changes in us that we know are happening all the time, remembering that they're happening for everybody else too. It's not like we're some magical creature who is always evolving. Everybody is doing that. And people are changing all the time and they want different things and they, you know, have different needs and desires. And yeah, I mean, you could watch some porn tomorrow and be like, oh my God, I never knew I wanted that. Now, you know, yay.
I have to say, I think as we kind of wrap this up, my biggest takeaway from this, though, was when you made the statement, if your needs aren't being met, the only thing that takes its place is resentment. Okay. And that was kind of an aha moment for me because I had never thought that out, but I completely agree with that as I just glance back into my memory. You know, I'm like, yeah, 100% you are right.
Yeah.
And that is an eye-opening thing, I think, to take away for anybody in any relationship dynamic.
Yeah.
Is don't let that happen.
Communicate. Yeah. Because then, you know, what you might find out, like you can actually get that need met.
Yeah.
Or you might find out you're literally never going to get that need met in this particular relationship. And then you have decisions to make. But at least things are moving along. Yep. Things are changing, which is always good if you're trying to get a need met. And yeah, the I wish it weren't true that resentment is just going to come in, but it really does. If after, you know, just like the couple I was talking about, if after 20 years of somebody not putting the dishes away, you're going to throw the dishes on the floor at some point and just like lose your goddamn mind. Yeah. Right. And it's the same thing with sexual desire and exploration. Like after a while, you got to have the thing that you want, or you have to be able to like be real adult about it and say, okay, I'm never going to have that thing, but it's worth it to be with this person. And that can be true. And that can be real. That takes a lot of adulting. It's hard. It's hard. But I know people have done it and are very happy. So, you know, everybody is their own wild and wonderful creature out there.
Yep. Everyone has whatever it is that everybody has their own value scale, you know, what it is that's how they rank what's important to them, you know?
Yeah. So, and what's a deal breaker for some people is not a deal breaker for others. And we have no idea if being with other women is a deal breaker for this person. Maybe it's not, and she'll be totally fine. And never exploring that or just getting to do it within the context of, you know, random threesomes or whatever, but they have to talk about it. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and discussing this question with us.
I love to be on your show and you're the best. And I'm just wishing you everything wonderful going forward.
Thank you so much. Do you have any events or anything that you want to promote that's coming up? Anything you want to do?
You just follow me at Intimacy Coaching with Sky on Instagram. I love to take breaks from doing that and then like randomly pop back. I am going to Peru for a few weeks, but other than that, no, I'm just really busy with clients and loving it. The individual work is the best. Part of me that is putting together a workshop for people who identify as women. There's a lot there to unpack, and I've had some requests for exercises, pleasure focused workshops. So keep an eye out. That'll all be on the Instagram if you're following. So
yeah. Yay.
Yeah,
that sounds great.
Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you so much. You have a wonderful day, and
I will
let you go.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.